All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Let's hope everybody's getting a little bit of normalcy back in their life, as we are. But we are back on the air and ready to go. It's The Usual Suspects for another big show. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. And we are here to provide some levity in your afternoon until 4 p.m. What's up, fellas?
Traffic's up. Damn it.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think plenty of it. As I said to you guys before we get on the air, unlike speaking from experience in a case like R. Kelly's deal, we can speak from experience in the cases of traffic in Houston. And if that's a sign of things getting back to normal, then holy normalcy. Traffic sucks.
Dude, what makes me angry is that September 1, a new law went in place. And you're not allowed to text and drive. You can't be on your phone, basically.
Is that right?
Yes. And every person in this city is breaking the law. It drove like an 18-wheeler almost ran me off the road, swerving into my lane because he was on his phone.
Yep. The 18-wheeler was texting?
Yeah, yeah. If you're driving an 18-wheeler, you're basically driving a death missile. You're doing 65 on Loop 610 on your phone in a death missile. What are you doing? Dumbass, like, get off the phone. It's different if you're driving a Prius and you can only go like 40 top speed and you're on your phone, whatever. I mean, you're not going to hurt nobody. You're going to hurt yourself,
right?
If you wreck into something. You probably hit a bike and get a dent. But
maybe do more than that.
No, the bike would dent the Prius.
I know, but the Prius is like a coffin on wheels anyway.
But I don't understand these guys. Like, everybody is still on their phone and not paying attention. And just and traffic. I don't know. Nick, you come in earlier than either of us. How bad was it this morning?
Yeah, it was bad for me because, it takes me normally 25 minutes to get to work. It took me an hour and 15.
So. That's insane. Mine added about 15, but there was just so many cars. Because I take back streets and stuff, so it's not affected as much by the major arteries. Once I get to the Galleria, I go the back way to get here. I can't take like 610, because usually Waze will tell me go 610 to Westheimer. There was no way. I would still be sitting there.
Yeah.
I would still be on the road.
Avoid 610 at all costs, if possible.
Yeah, but it was still pretty significant. I mean, the Hardy was cleared up, but my wife said this morning going to work, it took her almost 2 hours. It's just insane out there right now.
Yeah, appreciate the heads up, Nick, because, I mean, you had to do it earlier than me. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm flying from Sugar Land till inside the Beltway, and then all of a sudden it's like standstill, gridlock, no accidents, no explanation. Normally, I understand if you have to take it all the way to 610, you're asking
Do you
for
not
trouble.
Use Waze?
Yeah, Waze is who alerted me.
You've
got
to get on Waze, Joel.
I have the...
I know technology scares you.
Here we go.
I know that it frightens you.
Yep. You know me. But in my boots.
Let's do this. Let's ease you into it.
My car has built-in traffic.
GPS.
Yeah, well, good that did you. Waze
so
would have got you.
I get
but let's
the
do this. Let's do this. Let's get Joel. We're going to ease you into technology. First, we're going to get rid of your VCR, and we're going to get you a DVR. And then we're going to get you a microwave. And then we're going to get Waze on your phone. Okay? Does that work?
Let me know when you're done.
Well, I go to work. I barely get to work on time. And then after the one-hour show with Barry is over, I'm thinking, all right, traffic has got to have died down.
Warner, not Laminack.
Yeah, but let's be honest, Nick. More trauma in doing the one-hour show than there is in what you are traumatized with driving into work.
Perhaps. But when I got out of the show, people are still they're just walking into the studio and they're still, this is like 11:05 and they're still complaining about traffic. I'm like, oh, never mind. Maybe traffic is going to be bad the whole day.
But what's the explanation? You're telling me because a lot of commuters go to U of H.
I think that's a contributing factor, but I think it has more to do with the flood, like the after effects.
Yeah, are there still a lot of roads that are closed around here?
I don't think around here.
I need to look on like Google Maps.
School doesn't go back till the 11th. I'm just trying to figure out the cause of the effect because, I mean, there were no accidents. You're getting it on 45. We're getting it on 59. I mean, you look around, 610 is a parking lot.
Here you go. So I pulled up Transtar's road closures due to high water. There are still 52 roads in the area closed due to high
Highways
water.
Highways or roads?
I-10 has two, 45 north at Memorial, the exit ramp.
It's got to be around Highway 6.
69 northbound at Brazos River in Fort Bend County, left lane, center lane. I-10 Katy eastbound at Eldridge Parkway, Katy westbound at Eldridge Parkway. So there's still a lot of 69 north at Brazos River, like 99 at Brazos River, all main lanes. So, yeah, there's...
But that's all behind us, right, Nick? Brazos River but this and 99 says are update, all behind
like 5
us.
Yeah, that's... Oh, is it that way, yeah. south for
yeah.
you guys?
Yeah.
But this was updated at 9.5 at 107. So it's like right now. I just pulled it up and it's...
42 seconds ago.
There's still some I-10 eastbound at Monmouth, westbound at Monmouth. It's Highway 6 at Clay. So still a lot of roads being affected, and that may have something to do with it. I don't know. It's nuts, though. It's if you don't have to get out, don't.
If you wear some tight clothing and throw your booty at the mic, you could start doing traffic in this town.
You think?
Yeah. That was a pretty good update right there.
Pretty sexy.
Your traffic update right there brought to you by Barry Laminack.
Bye, Tiffany Terrell.
I'm going on this diet, so I'm going to lose my breast. I may not get as many people.
Can you start talking like this? You could do traffic in any town at any time. I'm Tiffany Terrell.
That's not nice.
No, it's accurate.
She might be a big fan of the show, and now she's crushed. You've devastated her.
I didn't do anything wrong.
You've hurt her feelings.
I just told you about traffic here in
Houston. There's a traffic jam in her heart right now because of you. That's so sad.
You want Salisbury to come back so you can hear that?
No.
That dad joke?
No, that wasn't a dad joke. Oh, I would think you would be able to identify a dad joke as many as you make, and you obviously swinging and missing. I know. You should. I tell you, you should embrace should embrace it. Don't run from it. It's who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Some people have a problem with it, and I don't care. I'm good with it.
El Jefe said that the 18-wheeler driving on his phone was probably Dr. Dre on 290. That wouldn't surprise me. I feel like he does Dr. Dre on 290 texts and drives, like text the show and drives.
An 18-wheeler, yeah. No doubt. But does he drive an 18-wheeler?
Is that what I said?
No, you didn't say it. I mean, it's like, you know, there's in songs. What's the rap song with the 18-wheeler?
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Okay.
We need a dad joke drop.
We
need a dad joke drop for sure.
I was going to say, did I just misspeak and say 18-wheeler? Or did I say...
That's what I thought when he initially said it. I thought you said 18-wheeler.
No. Now...
I don't know, man. I'm so confused right now.
I'm not even trying to pick on you, I swear. I thought you said 18-wheeler.
I did too. That's why I thought, I must have misspoke. I didn't even, because you know, sometimes you say stuff and you don't realize you said it, and it takes someone else to point it out when you go, oh, what'd I say?
Yeah.
I thought that's maybe what happened.
You guys point those out for me pretty regularly. But my question is, because I did not know that about texting, but Nick, the one thing, because in Sugarland, they banned being on your phone at all while you're behind the wheel. And I see it happen all the time in Sugarland, but it frustrated me because when I'm on the highway, you see it so much, but you're like, well, Lisa said technically, even if you're driving through Sugarland when you're on the highway, you're not subject to the rules of Sugarland proper. So that's why people could still be on their phone. So I'm glad to hear that because
we get clarification on whether or not
it's
you can
state law
put GPS, like you can GPS you can, is excluded from this.
You can still use your GPS according to what I was told. I don't know the legality, like the law. If there's lawyers out there, I'm sure they know. They could call the show and tell us.
We have a lot of smart people that listen, so.
Yep. Eric Christina said, why test the emergency system in the middle of a segment? Stuff is back to normal. Did the EAS fire off
on its own? No warning.
In the middle of a segment?
Yep, about 2 minutes ago.
Wouldn't they do that normally when you come back? Yep. Like, what's going on?
I had no warning. I promise.
I blame you.
So we didn't.
I feel like you just failed us.
That just goes right.
You just cost 2 minutes of radio gold for the people of this town. As you're just over there.
Another screw job. Another screw job.
See what happens, Joel? See all that where we were busting your chops? No one heard it. It's like it never happened.
I love that. That's the friggin' best gold star of the week so far.
It's like it never happened.
All right, so we got plenty of show to get to. If you want to join in on the fun and games, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects, back with a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the usual suspects as the usual shenanigans is happening. We've got emergency broadcasting system signals coming in, but it doesn't preclude Barry from being able to bust my chops and people hear it. Everything's back to normal. It's usual on the usual suspects. There you go. We got tweets that backed up the fact that at least they didn't miss that.
Yeah, I thought for sure that you were that it was spared, and Sean Lundy's like, nope, I heard you.
Yep. We threw it out there during the emergency warning. But look, if you have some kind of an explanation of what the hell's going on with traffic, feel free to let us know.
Because yeah.
Nick and I are talking 59. Barry's talking 45. And no matter which way you tried to get in, there were no accidents, nothing on the side of the road, no tow trucks, and holy gridlock. It was terrible.
Once you get, like, I'm looking at the Google map right now with the traffic update, and it's just once you get inside the loop, good luck. It seems like it's every man for himself out there on the freeways right now. It's just, ugh. Everything is red.
What drove me crazy, I actually did pretty well with going through the back streets, but when I got close to the station, like when I approached Chimney Rock, it took me like 20, 25 minutes just to get from Chimney Rock and 59 to the station. But like from where everywhere, like just to get from like Mo City to Chimney Rock, it took me like 40 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's terrible.
Well, good thing I'm not here tomorrow. I don't have to worry about all this crap.
Yeah, you're out tomorrow.
Yeah, and I might be out Thursday. I don't know. If I can get old man Huggins up early enough, I might be able to make it back by 1 o'clock to do the show. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, Yin Yang Twins.
Yeah.
18 Wooler.
Thank you for explaining it all.
I was trying to remember the damn song. Good Lord.
I'm not gonna bust your chops anymore about it.
So Drayon 290 and the 18 Wooler.
Yeah. Can we discuss the Rockets?
No, I hate that topic.
I kind of feel like you do.
No, and you feel wrong. I love basketball, as you know. I watch the tapes all went a summer long in my basement.
I know. But the fact that Tillman Fertitta is buying the Rockets, mm-hmm. I can't tell you the amount of joy this brings me.
It's the whole city should feel that joy.
Seriously, having a Houstonian own the Rockets is, and I'm not taking anything away from Leslie Alexander and the owner that he was for the Rockets. I feel like he was one of the better owners this city has had.
I think he might have been the best. He might be the best of all time so far.
I mean you wouldn't get me to argue with you. I mean, the fact that he would go out and spend money and pay the luxury tax and get guys and get names and do whatever he needed to do to win championships and bring two championships to this city.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hard to argue or make a case for somebody. But I wasn't around in certain times, you know what I mean? Like, I don't remember when I was younger, some of the Astros owners or whatever. So but in my time, mm-hmm. yeah, I would totally go with you on that. But now having a guy from this city invested in this city, I mean, when you look at what he was trying to do with U of H, you know, trying to keep Tom Herman, he cares about the city sports. He cares about these teams. He cares about, and I really feel like, he cares about this franchise.
No question.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be, as a Houstonian, I'm just really excited to have a Houstonian as an owner.
Don't discount how important it is that he's a Houstonian. Because of the fact, no, I'm saying, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm telling the listeners, simply because of the fact that with my Milwaukee roots, and I have a ton of people that worked for the Bucks organization, and now I say worked, with very few exceptions. When the Bucks were sold to guys that are New York-based guys, you now are going. You're still not even done seeing the ramifications of what that means, because without a Towners, they want their people in. Their people are East Coast people. That means from the president of the team all the way down to the equipment manager and everybody in between, it's a process. It's not all going to happen at one time because that's going to get publicized. But over and over, you're going to see that they are going to. There's going to be an influx of people that are friends of theirs from the East Coast, and the people that had those jobs and some of them held those jobs for a long time are going to be out. And they're going to try and make it more like what they're used to, which is New York, New Jersey, that East Coast feel. And that doesn't normally a lot of times sit right with the people in the Midwest, like Milwaukee. They're not jazzed about that. Like, for instance, Jason Kidd was their longtime friend. So all of a sudden, Jason Kidd, who was coaching the Nets at the time, that was the first move they made. We want our guy on our team. Jason Kidd came over. Then Jason Kidd brought his guys on the coaching staff. Like I said, throughout the organization now, they're making changes to get their people in. With the Rockets having Tillman as their owner, it's you really have no idea from like the infrastructure how important that is, and for the city to not have to deal with a lot of that transitioning over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, because McNair is a Florida guy. Crane, I think, was St. Louis. So you've got a guy that Crane, was born here.
Crane's been yeah, he Crane wasn't born here, but he's been here for a long time.
80. I think he got here in 80.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I was looking at his wiki because I wanted to see, you know, because I wasn't sure. I don't know his damn background. But, yeah, he grew up in the suburbs of St. Louis, moved to Houston in 1980. And then, of course, this is crazy because it says in 84 he borrowed 10 grand from his sister and founded Eagle USA Air Freight. 10 grand
yeah,
is how he started his business. And now he's, you know, he is who he is.
And I was talking to Kevin McHale on the way in here. About this and the fact that what he thought and what just kind of discussing overall the transaction and what the NBA is like. Look, Les is such a smart business guy and he's getting up in age. And to us, it was both. We both came to the same conclusion that, look, he as much as he loved owning this team, because salaries are going so high, this is probably the ceiling for what you're going to. He saw what the Clippers went for and went, look, I paid $83 million for this team. I could get $2.2 billion and break a record. I would bet you, and I said this to Kevin on the way in, I would think in the next year and a half to 2 years, you're going to see 3 to 5 franchises easily go up for sale simply because they may not get the 2.2, but they're going to realize their return on investment is going to be greater than they're ever going to see, and there's not going to be another opportunity like this because now you're going to see the profit margins go down because salaries are going up and the economy's changing. But less maxed out at the right time. I think he hit it right at the ceiling.
Buy low, sell high. That's yeah, what smart businessmen do.
And that's the story of his career.
Yeah.
You talk about the fact that what he bought the team for, but with junk bonds and quick buys and quick sells and knowing when to get in and get out, he made his fortune. So this was just another huge home run hit by selling at the right time.
$2.2 billion.
I was telling Nick, too, the record was two. Don't think for an instant that was a selling point in the selling price. You want to get this done, I want to be the record holder. I want to break the record. And because of the market of Houston, Texas, if the Timberwolves sell, you might get $750 million to a bill. But I don't think you're going to get – I think because the perfect storm, that record's probably going to hold for a while since the Clippers already sold. The only way it would change is if the Knicks or the Lakers went for sale or maybe the Bulls. But I think that was important to him, too, to be the guy that broke the record.
Yeah, and the Rockets had a press release that came out, and there was a quote from both Alexander and from Fertitta. The first one was, "I'm truly honored to have been chosen as the next owner of the Houston Rockets. This is a lifelong dream come true," Fertitta said. "Leslie Alexander has been one of the best owners in all the sports, and I thank him immensely for this opportunity. He has the heart of a champion. Lastly, out of respect for the NBA approval process, I can say no more other than I'm overwhelmed with emotion to have this opportunity in my beloved city of Houston."
Yeah, I was going to say, he can't speak until the Board of Governors actually approves it, and not that there should be any kind of stumbling blocks or roadblocks or speed bumps, but you got to be careful. That's why they don't want him speaking till after it's a done deal.
Yep.
But in a case like this, and when the Board of Governors looks at it and says, well, this guy bought it flat out by himself, doesn't have a group where you got to worry about, you know, the stability of their money coming in, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be a pretty clean transaction.
And not to sound like a hater or anything, but I'm really glad that an organization or a group from China doesn't own the Rockets.
Me
I'm
too.
Sorry.
Me too.
I'm but with I'm you. Really glad I'm that with you. This is a Houstonian that owns
but
a Houston
But I didn't think it was
going
to happen, honestly.
Really?
No, I didn't think.
I was nervous. As big as they are over there, I was pretty nervous about that.
Yeah, they do have some economic power for sure. And it was definitely a possibility. I just didn't think it was going to – I wasn't confident in that happening. What was worrying me, actually, because Tillman Fertitta was one of the first names that popped up.
Yep.
And I know we got a caller we'll get to right now.
Yep.
Tillman Fertitta is one of the first names that popped up, just along with, like, Mattress Mack. And those are, like, two names that kind of were repeated a lot along the way. I'm just glad it actually happened because for
too.
A second there, I was like – this might be too good to be true. I don't see Tillman Fertitta actually, winning out and buying this team. So I'm glad it actually happened.
I also thought it was going to be a longer process. But again, because of the fact that it was him all by himself, if Mac had a group, again, the Board of Governors is not going to be – no stone will be left unturned. They would check everything out before they would approve it. This is going to be a lot easier, and this is why it was a lot quicker. I thought this would go mid-season before they were sold at the earliest.
Oh, really?
But because he's a sole ownership, I think it went a lot faster.
Yeah.
All right, before we get to break, Eduardo's been holding. He might have an explanation on the traffic or an exclamation, as it is from the interns. We'll see. Eduardo, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? What's going on, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Well, I've been working all weekend while we're hauling trash and been all over the city. That Beltway 8 under Briar Fords is still underwater pretty bad.
Damn.
And when we worked yesterday, it wasn't as bad because I still think a lot of people were off from work for being Labor Day. But, yeah, mainly I-10, Highway 6, and Beltway 8, it's all still underwater, and it really sucks today.
And that's over there by the Addicts Reservoir, right?
Right, yep.
That's why. Okay.
But, Eduardo, that's why that explains I-10, and I would have expected that. But 59 and 45, I didn't think that would affect them to this degree anyway, if that is the case.
I know 59's been having a lot of issues because I was in Kingwood area as well yesterday, and it's pretty bad, guys. It was hard for me to get into those neighborhoods, and there's a lot of traffic coming in and out still trying to help people out of that Kingwood area. And it's sad. I'm stuck in traffic right now. I don't think I'm gonna be able to serve all my customers, but yeah, it's still underwater.
Eduardo, who do you work for?
I work for a Global Waste, local trash company.
Okay.
Yeah, I listen to you guys all the time. I love the show. Sometimes I don't like to hear y'all whine, but I still love tuning in.
That's probably Joel. That's probably Joel that whines a lot.
Eduardo,
definitely not me.
Tell you, when you do have some spare time, I got a couple pieces of trash you can come up here and pick up and take away. It won't take much.
Oh.
Hey, Eduardo, we appreciate you listening,
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. All right, there's some inside information.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. If you're around that Addicts Reservoir, man, that was
no doubt.
Bad.
But here's the thing. I said this to you yesterday or the other day. People are going to start driving the roads, the highways or whatever, and they're going to think everything's back to normal. And they don't realize how much of the city and these neighborhoods are still underwater.
It's just not back to normal.
It's
going to
take what?
At least 3 months.
I was going to say 6 months, maybe to a year, to get everything
to
back,
begin to see
the rebuilds and everything once the water finally gets out.
And not only, I mean, it's a perfect storm too, right? Because you've got the holiday, you had the hurricane, and now school's back in, and then everyone's getting back on the road around the same time. So
see, that's the thing.
School gets back in Monday, right?
Well, I mean, if you're north of town, I don't know when like spring is back in, or Conroe, or some of these other places. I don't know. HISD might be. But
they just announced Kingwood High School is closed for the year.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
The whole year. They got to go to school with another high school because of the fact that the whole high school is just shot.
So they have to actually probably separate those kids to multiple schools. They can't just do it to one other school, right?
Yeah, I think they are splitting them up.
Dang. If I'm a high school student, that would upset me.
Especially if you're a senior. Think about that. You spent your whole life in that school system and your last 3 years in that building, and now you got to go graduate and go through your final year somewhere else.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. All right, we're going to be here with you for the duration until 4 o'clock. So if you want to join in, please feel free to do so. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Got plenty to get to. We hit a little bit on the Rockets. Oh, I think there's an Astros game tonight, and I think it might be must-see TV, depending on who's pitching. So we can touch on that and other things. Don't go anywhere. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That ball's hit well to right field. All the way back goes Haniger. He's at the wall looking up. Gone! Second home run of the inning. Brian McCann gives the Astros a 2-1 lead on his 14th home run of the season.
It's been a while since I've been able to do this. McCann ball!
Glad it finally came to fruition and we were able to get things rolling as Yuli hits one deep to left field. Speaking of rolling, that ball's gone. Home run, Yuli Gurriel. Home run number 16 of the season. Welcome back to the lineup, Yuli. It's tied at one.
At least no Bill Worrell, Barry, but Todd Callis, Jeff Blum and the AT&T Sportsnet broadcast of the Astros' victory to start the series against Seattle. Now 5 in a row for the local 9. And oh, by the way, as just a passing tidbit of information, Justin Verlander on the Hill tonight, in which I would think is must-see TV.
First of all, everyone knows how I feel about Springer Dinger.
I told you how George feels about Springer Dinger.
He hates it.
He ain't big. I said,
see?
So we were talking about the nickname jerseys, and I go, why don't you go with your TV guy's name and do the Springer Dinger? No.
Well, that's not Blum. Like, I don't put that on Blum.
No, that's not Blum.
That's not Blum. That was like a year or two ago when it started, and it was the Astros Twitter and, you know, some of the other guys.
Back when he was hitting them from Galveston, right?
And it might have even been the radio guys that did it more. I'm ignoring you.
Or 2K.
And, but so I do, honestly, I like Jake from Rake Farm. I think that's funny.
Very clever.
And I think McCannonball is really good.
Do you?
Yeah. I like when he goes,
I thought you were going to think McCannonball.
No, I love that.
I thought
that.
You were going to think it was a dad joke.
Because it's not corny. I mean, that's like creative. And it's a reference to Anchorman, yeah, which is great. I love Anchorman. Jake from Rake Farm is a great play on words, and they mix in the khakis reference, which I think is funny. Like, that's creative. That's what I'm saying. I'm not opposed to stuff like that to enhance the broadcast. I just don't want it to be corny. And Springer Dinger is corny. So I'm glad to see they have some entertaining ones that they you know, are able to do, because I think those are funny. And by the way, somebody out there tagged me on a tweet where I've been saying, as you know, tongue in cheek, obviously, for the last 2 or 3 games that they're undefeated since acquiring Justin Verlander. There are guys actually out there tweeting that as if it's some sort of real and tangible fact about the Astros that means something.
I retweeted it,
which is hilarious, because El Jefe tagged me. I was like, oh, they're stealing my stuff now.
I retweeted it because someone actually sent out the tweet that said the Astros are undefeated since the Verlander trade, and the Tigers haven't won a game.
Yeah,
what's in this?
Stop it! I'm out here doing it tongue in cheek, and these dudes are out here meaning it. Come on, man!
You sell it so well, dude. I mean, it's seriously. It's like between you and Brock Osweiler, your ability to sell just in the way you speak. And do it so effortlessly.
Thanks.
It's enticing. It's almost hypnotizing.
I feel like you're messing with me right now. I don't know.
I feel like you're right.
Javier Figueroa said GPS music and calls are allowed, but not social media and any type of any typing communication for your phone. So if you're driving around, according to Javier, you can use your GPS, you can listen to music on it, or you can make calls. You just can't do any typing.
So the hands-free options too, like so for calls, I mean, as long as you can't use the phone to your ear, because that's annoying as hell too. We need clarification on that. I thought it was you can only be making calls if it's going through your Bluetooth, going through your car.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Mark Villalobos said, "How about for Way Back Wednesday? Y'all do Houston artists in honor of Houston Strong."
Not a bad idea.
Well, I won't be here, so I don't care what the hell you guys do. I'm not even going to pick you guys. That's on y'all.
Well, you didn't have a say-so in the matter anyway, Charlie. We're going to tell you what we're going to do.
I do not know.
Whether you're here or not. You weren't going to have a vote tomorrow because you're out.
That's what I just said.
Well, I know, but you didn't have to say it to us. We already decided that without you.
Okay. Well, I'm curious now as a listener. What are you guys going to do? What's your...
We'll talk about it.
No, I want to know.
Well, then when we're ready to announce it, you'll know.
That's going to be terrible, I bet.
Of course you do. Of course you would.
You can chime in on Twitter.
I will. I'm going to listen to you guys on my way out of town. I will be driving about 2 o'clock is when I plan on picking up Andy Huggins and headed towards the Valley. So we will be listening, and I will be judging you and grading your performances.
Andy has said before you pick him up, make sure you have coffee.
Uh-huh.
And if there's a list of things that he needs you to do before you pick him up to make sure you get them done, he will get that to you later.
I have no idea what you're talking about again.
Because, Andy, the last time he was here, was telling you, you're going to pick me up tonight, Barry? Well, on the way, could you please also stop by and pick up my sister and do some other things?
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow. He's just kind of...
I'd do anything for Huggins, man. That's my dude.
That's awesome. You guys talk Astros, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. We talk Astros and listen to soul music all the way down. No doubt. It's fun. RG22. I don't understand that. On Twitter says, he's going to be broke. I don't know if maybe there were rules of pro sports owners donating to the basketball team, but I think he's talking about Fertitta's going to be broke.
We did a little research on that, too.
He ain't going to be broke. Yeah. He's got plenty of money. And because remember, it doesn't just stop. He keeps making money. Yeah, he's going to be profitable with the Rockets.
Depending on who you believe, he's easily worth over $3 billion. So 2.2 ain't going to break the bank. He's still going to have plenty left in the tank.
Yep. Plenty.
Yeah. Somebody and that said, Rockets organization, by the way, it's still making money. It's top five in profits.
That's what I mean. He'll be doing just fine. Brad said, what's the ROI on the Rockets?
Well, he bought for 83, sold for 2.2.
When you're buying now, I think it's to your point of saying, oh, well, it's peaked. And then it's going to start going down. I don't think these franchises are actually going to go down. I mean, I didn't really.
So
they've always gone up. Is there a ceiling? Maybe, but everything goes up in value. As salaries go up, ticket prices go up, profits go up, it's always going to go up.
And at some point, I do think it's going to level off a little bit. But to give you perspective, Milwaukee was the 30th ranked team in terms of the bottom of the barrel in terms of what they thought a franchise was worth in the NBA, and they sold for $550 million as the bottom ranked team, and that's before this whole thing happened with the Rockets. So franchise values, they're at what I think is an all-time high. I just think with salaries going the way they are, with LeBron and some of these guys leading the charge, that there shouldn't even be a salary cap. And with a negotiation coming up very soon for a new collective bargaining agreement with the league, I think this is why I make the statement that I think this is probably as high as you will see franchises go.
Well, you have to, when you're looking at the ROI, you have to consider, what's his net going to be? You know what I mean? Like, you have the value, right. But you have, what is this team making? So their revenue is about $250 million a year.
Yep.
So you basically have to look at how long is it going to take him to pay back the $2.2 billion that he's paying for. So you're looking at, what, 8-10 years, something like that?
In that ballpark, right.
So about 10 years to pay back. So he'll start to see a return on his investment in year 11, assuming that the revenue and the costs and everything stay relatively the same grow at the same number.
And then you also got to take into consideration, too, what's going to come down the line. Like, after a certain point in time, the parking garage becomes his.
Yep. He gets the Toyota Center,
too. He gets the building. I was just going to say, the other thing is, at a certain point, he gets the building as well. So, you know, that's going to change everything to his favor.
And remember,
in the process,
Forbes back in February valued them at about $1.6 billion. Yeah. So,
is that how it worked with Les? He has the building, like he owns the building, or
he doesn't own the building right now. The city does, but at a certain point, it goes over to him. Same with the parking garage.
So he'll get that transferred to him. Same deal.
Just clarifying.
That's probably where some of the value comes from, because it's like, well, if you buy this now, if this comes through and I'm just speculating, I'm just throwing out. But in 7 years, if you become the owner of the parking garage, you increase your revenue because you get all that money.
Yep.
So that's probably why you saw an increase in value, even from when Forbes came out with their valuation of $1.6 billion in February. So
yeah. So if you got any more Rockets questions, fire them away as we continue to talk about Tillman Fertitta buying the Houston Rockets. And we'll get to a whole bunch of other things. We started talking Astros, and we can continue to do that as well. Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. CEO Josh Pestikoff and his staff do a fantastic job of making sure they identify your needs, either as a family or a business, with your energy usage. And then they tailor make a plan to best fit your needs to give you energy when you need it at a fair price and a low rate. And then, of course, when you don't need it, they won't charge you as much. It's a great program that's never going to screw you over, because they're 100% honest. They always pay attention to your needs, and they always make sure that they listen and talk instead of giving you automated systems. From the time you call, you're not going to get a recording or an automated system. You're going to get a human being. They're going to put you in the hands of capable people that are going to identify your needs and try and get you the best plan possible. Sometimes that's with them, sometimes it's not, but they're going to be honest, and they're going to tell you what they can do for you. Try them out. 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732 or infuseenergy.com. You mention ESPN 97.5, and you receive a $25 bill credit right off the top. And then they start breaking it down for you and listening to what you need to make sure that you get affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips. Sign up, choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That, of course, helps decrease your carbon footprint. They're good people right here in Houston trying to make a difference by being very, very customer-friendly to you in Houston. Check them out, infuseenergy.com or 844-463-8732. Infuse Energy.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Usual Suspects back. Hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. Start to talk a little bit about the Astros. Justin Verlander making his Astros debut tonight for a team that's won five in a row, taking on a Mariners team that's not out of it. And in the process, as we kind of touched on yesterday, but it's worth mentioning, the Cleveland Indians are only three back.
Getting a little tight.
Yeah.
You know, at one point on this very show, during this very season, I was like, "Nah, no way they choked this away." Well, they're trying.
And you and I were talking about the Red Sox being the team that could catch them, because at that point the Sox were hot. Now the Indians have the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball this year. There was a three-way tie at 11 between the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Indians. Cleveland won again yesterday. They're now 12 in a row going into tonight's contest. Now, granted, they've also had a pretty favorable schedule,
yeah,
but at the same time, you can't predict those things, and all you know is that the objects in your rearview mirror appear a lot closer than they may look.
Yeah, with the Red Sox at 7.5 back and the Yankees at 10, I think you're good. Literally, it's down to the Astros and the Indians for the best record in the American League. I still think the Astros can hold it off. I need to look at what the Indians' schedule looks like down the stretch. The Astros get kind of lucky in that they've fared well against the West.
Yes.
So they should have, it should be predominantly, you know, West teams down this. Now they do play the Red Sox, I think the final four games, and the Rangers, who started to turn it around. It looks like, and had their number, beat them 2 out of 3 the last series they played. But we'll see what the Indians' schedule looks like. Again, I'm not as concerned about home field advantage in the playoffs for the Astros. This is a team that they're 43-22 on the road. They've played really well on the road. They've hit better on the road than they have at home. So that, and I've said it before, home field advantage in baseball doesn't mean as much as it does in other leagues. So I'm not as concerned about that. What I want to see is, okay, this is it. Once Gattis gets back, then this team is full strength. And the next 3 weeks or so is going to be very telling about what they're going to look like in the playoffs, you know? So that's what I'm waiting to see is you're starting to see the offense heat up a little bit. McCann finally got a home run. Springer had a couple. Bregman has stayed hot. Let's see what this team does over the next 3 weeks.
Look, I've stated all along, and as much as I agree that, you know, look, they're a good team on the road, but in the playoffs, my biggest thing is the matchups. And I'd like to see them, you know, get into, with as close as this wild card race is, you're going to see teams going down to the bitter end, and they're going to be burning some of their pitchers. And then in the wild card game, first of all, take in consideration if there's a tie, and there's been ties in the past. If there's a tie, you probably got to burn your number one or your ace, if you have one, or the closest thing to it in that game. Then you got to play the one game playing in the wild card. And by the time you get into the series against the Astros, assuming that they have the best record in the American League, you're looking at your ace going up against their number three or number four, or best case scenario for them, probably number two. But still, advantage Astros. That's what I want to see. And I want to see matchups that are more conducive to a long playoff run for the Astros before the series even starts. Just looking at best case scenarios, that would be what I'm focused on for the main reason why I want them to win the American League outright.
Well, in the wild card, you've got the Yankees are three up on everybody else. The Twins are there. And then, so that's your two wild card teams right now. The Angels are a half game behind the Twins.
That is nuts.
The Orioles are a game and a half back, and the Rangers and Mariners are 2 and 2.5 back. So when you look at, there's a month left, the cutoff probably is at the Blue Jays. They're 7.5 back. So every team beyond the Blue Jays probably is out of it. Everybody else, though, this is the teams that are 3 games or less back from the Twins. Angels, Orioles, Rangers, Mariners, Royals, and the Tampa Bay Rays. All are within 3 games. That's all striking distance. So a couple of these teams are probably going to tank here in the next week or so and go on, have a losing streak that's going to knock them out of contention. But a couple of these teams might even surge. So it's really going to come down to the wire. And props to baseball for putting this together. Yeah. All these teams and all their fans still feel like they're in it. If you're a Rangers fan, as bad as things looked and as bad as the division looks, you look up and you're 2 games behind the Twins for the second playoff spot at wild card. You're going, we're in this.
And of all the teams you just mentioned, the other thing worth mentioning about them is the fact that you look at your schedule down the stretch to figure out if you're playing them, because you know that they are definitely going to be bringing it with an intensity because every game means something to them too, unlike teams like the White Sox and the Tigers and teams that are just basically mailing it in for the rest of the year and are going to have just an infuse of young talent that they're trying to evaluate. You're going to see the best from all these teams. That's why it's important when you look at the schedules to factor that in.
And one thing to keep an eye on, of all the teams that are in the wild card hunt right now, and the ones that I said that are 3 or less back, of all of them, the Rangers have the best run differential amongst those teams. Second best, excuse me. The Yankees have the best, but the Rangers have the highest run differential of the teams, either a half game to 3 games out at plus 39. So that's a team when you're trying to pick up, well, who could be one of those teams that makes a run. They're a team that's on a plus side of winning games for the most part, even though they're barely above 500. That plus minus at plus 39, that's somebody to keep an eye on.
That's the Arlington Rangers, right?
Yeah.
By the way, Justin Verlander against the Mariners in 2 starts this season, 12 and 2/3 innings, a 2.1 ERA, allowing 9 hits, 3 walks, 19 strikeouts. So let's hope that continues. Shabby.
And how about, I noticed this the other day, how about Bregman with 16 steals? If I would have, you couldn't have convinced me that dude would steal 16 bases and be the top 2 or 3 on the team. Well, they added Maven, but he's a base-stealing threat for the Astros. I would have never guessed that out of Alex Bregman.
And the opposite would be George Springer, who looks like he should steal a base every time he's on. And just struggles to steal bases. So, all right, so we got one in the books, 2 to go, plenty more of the big show. Please feel free to join us, 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls. We'll look at your texts. And, of course, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with hour number 2 in just a minute. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.